You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Hello, my man. How you doing?
Jason and Jason, I think I'm going to name myself Jason for this segment. How you guys doing?
That would be great. Yeah. We were joking, kind of. It's rare for New York to have both teams win on the same day. You got to go back to 2019 for that to happen. And teams with some young quarterbacks. Daniel Jones had a pretty good game. More so, though, let's start with Saquon Barkley. Do you think he's back?
Yeah, the indications are that he's, you know, obviously making progress in that direction, although with a major injury like that, it may take him more than a full year to fully, you know, feel recovered. But a 54-yard touchdown play, and then they convert the two-point conversion, brought them back into the game. You know, you got Gano kicking the game-tying field goal, and then Jones was very good in the overtime, setting up the Barkley winner. So it's encouraging, too, that the second overall pick of a couple of years ago is, you know, getting more and more acclimated back to where he was before the injury. And that's a big win, especially in New Orleans, where the Giants hadn't won since 1993. And, you know, it was the Saints' first real home game following Hurricane Ida and the relocation to the Dallas area. So that was a monster win for the Giants, and, you know, maybe alleviated the cat calls for Jason Garrett and Joe Judge, at least for a week.
Joe Judge was pretty, he downplayed, you know, the, when he was asked about Daniel Jones and what his future looks like, where do you rank him now? And he just said, he's our quarterback. He didn't want to, you know, put too much pressure on Daniel Jones. Are you seeing improvement game by game this year that would think that he now has legs with this Giants team past the season?
I would say so, Jason. I mean, you look at it, and he hasn't made the critical turnovers. I mean, he had him in position to win that game against Washington a couple of weeks earlier, but then the Giants' defense didn't do their job. You know, I thought he was efficient enough yesterday in the game against New Orleans. I think the fact that he can run the ball gives them an extra dimension. And let's not forget, too, he's down two of his big targets because Slayton and Shepard didn't play either. So you got all of that as a backdrop. You're going in, like I mentioned, to a venue you haven't won in 28 years. And, you know, the Saints are a formidable defensive team. I thought Jones acquitted himself very well. I'm seeing some, you know, incremental progress, I should say, from him. But I would really like to see him with a full complement of weapons, Barkley fully healthy, and, of course, his offensive line to do a better job. But I would say, you know, you're not going to get an upgrade anywhere anytime soon. So Daniel Jones, to me, is a guy that I think at some point you probably can win with. But again, until all those other pieces fall into place, he's probably going to have to do a lot more on his own than probably what the Giants really would want him to do.
On the other side, you got the New York Jets, who also get a victory. Their young quarterback, you know, he's been trending. You know, what did you like from his game yesterday against what can be a pretty tough Tennessee Titans team?
What was it? I think it was Tevin Coleman, the back, who was just raving about the one touchdown pass that Zach Wilson threw. I think it was to Corey Davis. And he's like, how did you see that receiver down the field? How were you able to get that ball in the air that you, like, hardly threw it, and it still went, like, 60 yards? So the kid has a rocket arm. He's got a demeanor about him that nothing fazes him. There was a controversial decision there. I think it was on fourth and goal where they're trying to basically do, you know, almost almost like a reverse type play around the goal line, and the Titans sniffed that out. So I don't pin that one on him. I pin that on the offensive coordinator. But, you know, there's a situation there where this kid's been under siege. They're without their left tackle, Becton, probably for another few games. So the offensive line hasn't been very good. They haven't gotten really good ground attack. But in his case, and he's taken the beatings, too, you know, against Carolina in the opener. He was sacked, what was it, six times. So he's tough. He's resilient. And I think, you know, if the Jets, again, like the Giants in ways, if they can surround him with some better people and better protection, I think the Jets may have finally found their quarterback that they haven't had since, oh, I don't know, maybe Joe Namath way back when.
Yeah, it's been a while, but man, his arm strength a few times, he just threw some lasers. It was really impressive to watch connecting with Davis a few times downfield. It was actually quite fun to see. There was a few other games, you know. Obviously, Tom Brady goes into to New England and they win. I thought that they didn't look great doing it. New England's defense caused a lot of problems for them, but ultimately they get the victory. Where do you come out on Mac Jones? On, you know, is Mac Jones just going to be that's like steady, reliable quarterback, or do you think he has the potential to be great?
I'll answer that second part in a second here. I would say this, you know, about the game last night. I mean, think about this. He goes into his home venue for 20 years, and now, you know, he's basically the prodigal son. He's without his best player, his security blanket and Gronk. It's a driving rainstorm. Richard Sherman was signed 4 days earlier, and he has to start because the Bucs are so beat up in the secondary, and have all of that backdrop, and, you know, obviously going against a guy like Belichick, who still has a defensive mastermind, and to pull that game out, that was a slugfest, but typical Tom Brady win. To your question, Jason, about Mac Jones, you know, up until maybe a couple drives last night, I keep saying, what is all the hype about this guy? Yes, I know he's another of the quarterbacks from Alabama that had, you know, gazillion weapons around him winning those national championships, but I hadn't seen anything what you would call spectacular. But if you remember in the Patriots, when they were building up their dynasty before Tom Brady became this all-world quarterback, he was a guy that was throwing 8 to 10 yard completions, and then they just add up and up. So I think Belichick and Josh McDaniels are bringing along Mac Jones like the early Tom Brady. Again, the comparisons are unfounded, but in that system, you can see where it's applicable. So what was it? I think he set a record, 19 straight completions at one point. So he's a guy, hopefully, kind of dispels, you know, the Alabama quarterback that can't seem to cut it in the NFL. He already has the huddle. He's already recognized as a team leader, even though he's only, what, 4 games into his pro career. So I think there's a chance for him to be very effective. But, two, you know, because of last night you didn't see many deep balls. But, you know, the Patriots spent a gazillion dollars on those two tight ends and then on those receivers, Aguilar and Bourne. They haven't gotten a whole lot of return on them, so I'd like to see an upgrade there. But it's clear I think Mac Jones has a chance to be that Alabama quarterback that has succeeded in the NFL, which we haven't seen in quite some time.
Talking with Zeke Vercassi, NFL from SiriusXM. Zeke, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and they lose last night to a pretty good team in Green Bay, but Ben Roethlisberger, where does Pittsburgh go with this guy? You know, it's he's had a great run there, but how do you see this playing out with him this year and moving forward?
You know, Jason, I'm wondering, and you know, obviously, you know, you've probably been. Being the fine defenseman you were in your day, you got to wonder sometimes if, you know, like your teammates or something like, wait, this guy's leaving, that guy's leaving. Maybe it's different in hockey, but you wonder, gosh, should I leave too? And what I'm referring to is obviously Marquise Pouncey, one of the best centers in the game, retired. Villanueva, who, you know, is quite the, you know, the story, being an undrafted free agent Army Ranger, becoming a star left tackle in the league, he leaves for Baltimore in free agency. All of a sudden now, you know, you need high IM stickers to identify your offensive line. So maybe there's a little bit in Ben saying, maybe I should have got out when those other guys did, because it's clear they can't run the ball. I mean, Najee Harris, their number one pick, has been good as a receiver, but when you got a guy catching 15 balls out of the backfield, that means you can't run the ball because you don't have enough confidence in that O-line. Now they're saying, well, yeah, let's bench Ben for who? Mason Rudolph? Come on now. Or even, you know, Josh Dobbs? I mean, he's an aeronautical engineer, for goodness sake, but my gosh, he's the best option that they have to try to stay competitive. But I'm wondering aloud if maybe he probably should have left at that time, too, because it's clear this offensive line in Pittsburgh really needs some time to develop. And, again, I don't think they have a suitable option on their roster to be a better team. So Ben's in this for the long haul. Maybe he rethinks his decision to play after this season, but he's their best option right now, and I'm sure Tomlin wouldn't want to bench him either.
Siegfried Gassi joins us from SiriusXM talking all things NFL. What about the Cardinals? They dominate the Los Angeles Rams. Lots of people thought that might go the other way. The Cardinals, they look legit, Sid. Like, I don't see many weaknesses on that team.
Well, you know, and the thing about it, too, was the Rams had won the prior eight meetings in the series, which, of course, is the time Sean McVay has been the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. So, and you know, also, they had some troubles on that offensive line keeping Aaron Donald and that Rams pass rush off Kyler Murray. But yesterday, you know, they showed that Murray obviously is a guy that he could just avoid traffic like anybody. I mean, it's like watching a joystick, for goodness sake, watching the way that that guy runs around and avoids and still be able to throw laser passes on the run. So it's clear the addition of A.J. Green has been very good for them, the former Bengals receiver. You got Rondell Moore, the kid they drafted out of Purdue. He's been a target, too. Chase Edmonds ran for over 100 yards yesterday. He's been good in the backfield. The offensive line's a little bit better than it was. And then defensively, they made some changes, bringing J.J. Watt in. You know, Chandler Jones had the 5-sack game a couple of weeks ago. So they brought in some veterans, I think, to help Kyler grow up a little bit. And they are off to a very good start. And conversely, with the Rams, you know, Stafford had played well the first three games. But, and this is one of these, I got to see it to believe it, you know, Stafford had this reputation of being, to me, a bit of a compiler in Detroit. Put up these gaudy stats, yet his team never won, or he couldn't win the big game. I know it's only four games into his Rams stint already, but, you know, sometimes these trends tend to continue. He didn't win a big game until he starts doing that on a consistent basis with the Rams. The jury, I think, is out on Stafford, but for the Cardinals, I think it's clearly ascending. And Kyler Murray, if you wanted to put stock in an early, I guess, MVP race, he would be at or near the top of that list.
One last one for you, Zig. Tonight, Chargers, Raiders. The Raiders try to remain as the second undefeated team in the league. Derek Carr and them have had some early success. The Chargers coming off a massive win. What do you see happening tonight, and who do you like?
Oh, this should be a good one for sure. You know, Carr is another name early in the year that you might consider for MVP consideration. And they're playing okay defense, although, you know, I thought the Raiders were a little bit lucky last week against Miami, down 14-0 early, and the Dolphins got a little funky with the play calling there, and that led to 25 unanswered points by the Raiders. They're going against a real good quarterback tonight in Herbert. I'm sure they're probably SoFi Stadium might be at least half Raiders fans, maybe even a few more, but I don't know. I think at home, the Chargers got a little bit of a better defense to me. And, again, the quarterback seems to be a wash. I think the Chargers have a couple more big play weapons on their side against the Raiders defense. I'm still a little bit skittish on. Slight lean to me for the home team on the Chargers.
Sid, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great week. Oh, actually, before I let you go, have you ever seen a more terrible interception than the one Jared Goff got credit for yesterday off of the snap deflection?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I've been watching football for 100 years, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like that where the snap hits him inadvertently, goes forward. That may be the easiest interception the Bears ever came up with. That was absolutely off the charts. That's something you put, like, on, you know, the football follies of yesteryear, if you remember the old NFL NFL film series. That would be something you'd see on that.
I couldn't believe, I had to watch it a few times. I'm like, how did that happen? It was nuts. Absolutely nuts. Zig, enjoy the game tonight. We appreciate your time.
Jason and Jason, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.